Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of the broadcast. We have a great guest lined up for you today. We have a director, Brad Silverman. He just finished releasing his film, Grace Unplugged. It hit number one, our most popular movie on Fandango, and really making some of the Hollywood industry turn their heads. So we're going to have that in the second segment of Mr. Brad Silverman. And we have someone that I've been working on a video on for our show this next week. He'll be broadcasting, I believe, next, the second Tuesday, so that would be the 22nd, possibly. Yeah, Mr. Pat Williams, our Orlando Magic Vice President of Operations. We had a great interview with him at the ICRS. In fact, I'm going to put his audio on in just a few minutes. I want to encourage you to listen to the broadcast that we're doing and just the things that we're trying to get done in faith. And we're trying to make moving forward. You just got to keep moving forward, even when you hear doors closing, because we hear them close. Sometimes you can look at something and say, hey, it's not here anymore, or the season's about to end, and you just don't know. You just don't know what happens, and you just recognize the seasons that you're going through. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, that address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. You can always email us, david@revmedianetwork.com. You need to recognize your seasons, because eventually, my friends, eventually, you're going to have to move on. Look at Elijah. He couldn't stay in one spot all day and be fed at the brook. He had to go to the widow woman to get fed, and he had to increase their faith. So even though you're going through your season and you're surviving, praise God, he's creating you to become a blessing to other people, to encourage them and to increase their faith. That's something that we have to keep in mind, that we're just because we're going through something doesn't mean that's all we're on this earth to go through stuff. No, God wants to add to your life. He wants to add to other people's lives as well. You're to be a blessing to people around you, and you are to bring the faith of God into homes and into houses and to people that you work with and everything. Anyway, let's go to that interview with Pat Williams. I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. I'm sure it's going to be a blessing to you, and we'll just see what God does. Amen. And we're live here at the ICRS 2013 with another great guest. And we have Miss Pat Simmons. How are you doing, darlings?
I am wonderful. Thank you for inviting me.
Hey, not a problem. And that is the wrong one. I prepped Pat Williams and there goes. Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez.
That's Pat Williams.
Live at the ICRS in St. Louis 2013 with my good friend, Mr. Pat Williams. How are you doing, Pat?
David, nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too. And he's written a book called The Difference You Make. And it's changing your world through the impact of your influence. Now, we're going to jump into this in just a second. Want to just tell us just a little bit about yourself, if you could.
Well, I'm in the sports business, David. That's really my vocation. I've been part of the NBA for 45 years now.
That's right.
The last 27 years in Orlando, where we started up the Magic many years ago as an expansion team.
Okay.
Getting ready for our 25th anniversary season this fall. But I write books on the side. That's kind of my avocation.
All right.
And this latest book is a book about influence.
All right.
We all have an enormous amount of influence, whether we know it or not. And you don't have to be a NFL superstar or a Hollywood starlet or a great political figure to have influence.
That's true.
We all do, David, through the words we say, the actions we take. So this book really is just a good reminder to people. Be very careful and very deliberate about your influence, because it's leaving an indelible mark on many people every day.
Mm.
I think if I were to summarize the book in a short paragraph, that's how I do it.
Mm, that's amazing. So when you put this one together, what did you want people to get when they got the book?
Well, I think what I really wanted them to get was that whenever they open their mouth, words are coming out, they're going to leave an imprint on their children, their grandchildren, co-workers, friends. And then when they take action, those actions will never be forgotten. And in the beginning of this book, I write about a cancer diagnosis I received about 2.5 years ago. We went public with it, and very shortly thereafter, I began to hear from people way, way back in my life, high school friends, college friends. I mean, many people I'd forgotten, but they shared usually a little story about something I did or had said way back. Frankly, I did not have much of a memory of it, if at all. But these people did, and it just hit me that this amount of influence we have is powerful. Mm-hmm. It's enormous. And so never take it for granted. Think very carefully before you speak. Think very carefully before you take action.
Yes.
Because it's leaving an indelible imprint on many, many, many people. Mm. And I think, David, if people would really sit down carefully and go back over their life, as I have done on occasion, it's amazing. They will remember just about everything that anybody ever said to them.
Amen.
And or ever did for them, you know, that stuff is not forgotten.
Yeah.
So the power of influence is far beyond anything we could imagine. Mm. So hopefully this book
they get that.
Is a good reminder.
Amen. Tell us some of the stories that are in here. Is a story written, or is it just personal experiences, or in the book itself?
Well, we've got many stories. I'm a story gatherer.
Yeah, you look like you can tell some good stories.
I think, David, we're hardwired to retain stories.
Absolutely.
Not PowerPoints, thank goodness.
Yeah.
So I tell stories from my own life, from my own family, from my own upbringing. I tell stories from the world of sports. I tell stories from the world of history, because I'm a history buff.
Yeah.
I tell stories that I have collected and gathered, illustrations. We talk about influence with our family. I talk about influence as a Christian. I talk about influence that teachers have, that coaches have, the influence across the spectrum. Because in every area of our life, you know, we have this incredible, incredible influence. And as I said earlier, you don't have to be a big hotshot. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to be a world-leading authority or significant celebrity. We all are touching, in the course of a lifetime, many thousands of people. So that's the meat of the book. Joe Girardi, the New York Yankee manager, wrote the foreword for us.
Oh, wow.
And told a couple of stories about the influence that he's had. Joe's a strong Christian guy, and I was really honored that he would do that for us. And we have many other interesting people who did little blurbs for the dust jacket as well. And
amen.
They're listed on the back.
Oh, yeah. Mike Smith, Atlanta Falcons head coach. Tony Evans. Wow. Muffet McGraw, Terry Collins. Wow. This is the Romeo Crennel. That's a lot of influential people there.
So I was very pleased that
amen.
They would step out and do a little blurb for us.
Oh, absolutely.
People can read this book, David, fairly quickly, probably in a couple of sittings.
Okay.
And I wrote it from the depths of my heart, and I really want people to benefit from it and then tell others. And we can be powerful influencers, you know, across this nation. And we just have to be aware of it, be
That's
thinking
true.
About it.
That's true.
We've got to be conscious that every day when we speak, when we greet people, when we send them a little note, when we communicate by email, you know, those messages are sticking. They're lasting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's absolutely. Not, especially in I guess, an era that we're in, that not many people are thinking of the consequences and just posting crazy things online and stuff. And just whatever you influence, when you influence people, that's your character. That's
yes.
that's who you are.
Yeah.
It's a character. We need to be character-driven.
And you don't want to waste your words.
Absolutely.
You know, I know social media is a big deal now.
Yeah.
So much of it is just
meaningless. I'm horrible and I can't even do it much.
It's meaningless. So much
yeah,
of it is just
fluff. It is. It is.
So make each word count. Make each action really be significant.
Yes.
You don't want to be frivolous, you know, in the use of words, because they're too important. They're too powerful. And the power of that little slippery piece of muscle right there in our, right there, David, that little tongue, boy, does it have power. Mm-hmm. It can destroy people. It can wipe them out. It can spread rumors and gossip. And on the other hand, it can uplift them, encourage them to do great things.
It can.
You know, we can do absolutely marvelous things by the usage of our tongue, and destructive things as well. So the argument is, make it positive, make it powerful.
Absolutely.
Make it of great influence.
Amen. Well, tell everybody how they can get your book.
Well, it's in bookstores now in the self-improvement section.
Self-improvement section?
I also send people, David, up to Amazon.
Amazon, okay.
Wonderful way to order books.
Oh, it's easy.
And people can always visit my website. It's patwilliams.com.
Patwilliams.com.
Twitter page, Orlando Magic Pat. And so they have all sorts of ways of reaching out.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
But the book came out this spring, and it's out there now. And I really want this book to be a difference maker.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to come on the air with us and share us about this and about your book.
Thank you, David. It's an honor to be with you.
God bless you.
God bless you, sir.
We'll be back with another great guest.
Amen, amen. I'm back in the studio, and you probably heard me rustling around here with the stuff, and we're just excited I have like two or three things running. I forgot my iPad, my wife's iPad. Apparently, me and the boys weren't taking care of it properly, so we lost our iPad privileges. And well, I have to just get my own, and that's fine. But we usually have the broadcast and the stuff playing on two or three different devices, and right now I am not in my game set because I was having trouble with my Rev Media TV streaming platform. Not the stream platform, but the my broadcaster that I have here to record the shows. And they sent me an upgrade. The upgrade looked fine, but then all the videos, FLVs were slow installing and stuff like that. So it really was, just had to figure it out. You know, when you get something in your mirror, you just got to figure it out. And that's what I've been trying to get done during that broadcast part. But I tell you what, I know you enjoy Brother Pat because he's awesome. And he has so many things that he brings to the show and just to what we're doing. And as far as, we have to do our part. You can't expect just to hear the sermons, but you got to go out and act in your life to change people's lives. You got to be a better person, praise God. You got to see how much an influence you are to other people. And you got to look at that and engage that, you know, and then engage it. You know, gauge it to where you know how much you're influencing people, then engage it. Put it into effect to people that you don't even know or don't even have a great friendship with yet, and try and better those people. You can be the best of everything, but unless you're bettering other people, you're not the best. I guess that's how we would say it. You're not the best unless you're bettering people. So we're just excited. Very excited to see what God is doing and how God is doing it in our entire broadcast and ministry that we're doing. And we're excited because we know God is just moving in wonderful, wonderful ways. Up next, we have Mr. Brad Silverman, and we'll have him on the air in just a few minutes. We'll be back. God bless.
Girls and boys, is the big difference the toys? It turns out gender is about more than just dolls and trucks. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be back in a moment to share some interesting differences between the sexes.
Your search engine is watching you, recording all your searches, and creating a massive database of your personal information. That's creepy. But it doesn't have to be that way. Startpage.com is the world's most private search engine. Startpage doesn't store your IP address, make a record of your searches, or use tracking cookies, and they're third-party certified. If you don't like Big Brother spying on you, start over with Startpage. Great search results and total privacy. Startpage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Researchers and parents know that girls prefer dolls while boys head for the trucks. But gender differences don't stop there. Psychologists have discovered that the sexes have favorite colors, temperature preferences, and they even hear differently. Girls are attracted to warm colors like red, yellow, and orange. They also tend to work better in warmer temperatures, and they interpret loud speaking as threatening. Boys, on the other hand, are drawn to cooler colors like blue, black, and gray. They tend to learn better in cooler temperatures, and they associate loud speaking with confidence. But think twice before redecorating, changing the thermostat, or modulating your voice. Scientists say these gender differences are tendencies, not hard, fast rules. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
Blogger, conference speaker, and parenting expert, Trace Embry.
Could the music your kids are listening to be negatively affecting their relationship with you and with God? My experience tells me absolutely. Perhaps the most destructive and overlooked tool the devil uses against teenagers today is what they are being indoctrinated with by way of music. Johann Sebastian Bach said that all music should be for the glory of God and the refreshment of the human spirit. Music is deeply spiritual, and you won't hear that point argued by your favorite rock or rap star either. But the question remains, by what spirit? If a song can cause us to unconsciously tap our foot, can it cause us to make other unconscious decisions, perhaps sinful ones?
You'll find archives of our half-hour weekly version of Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry at our website, licensedtoparent.org. There's no charge, and you can even sign up and receive our podcast via iTunes. Go to licensedtoparent.org. That's licensedtoparent.org.
Sometimes we float, unanchored on the ups and downs of our feelings. As Christians, we have seen the Lord's wonderful deeds, yet in our peril, our courage dissolves away. Often, we can go into a shipwreck of despair. At such times, when we cry out to the Lord, He will rescue us from our distress. He reduces the storm to a whisper, and all grows calm as He brings us into the peaceful haven that we long for. All too frequently we forget God's everlasting faithfulness. He has never let us down, nor will He ever let us down. When we take our eyes away from the dizzying swell of our circumstances, when we fix our minds on our Lord's unfailing love, then our nauseous, seasick ride of anxiety will turn to praise and joy. Almighty God will draw us near to Him. Our life is calmed, and Jesus brings us peace in the haven of God's heart.
Hi, I'm Peter Stein.
There will come a time when you believe everything is finished, yet that will be the beginning.
I'm Perry LaHaye.
Jacob Kamal and Abdul were having amazing success sharing the Jesus film in Muslim North Africa. They showed the film in 90 Muslim villages, and the people loved it. But then a civil war broke out, and Jacob and Kamal were forced to leave because they weren't from North Africa. That left Abdul, a native to the region, all on his own. There was so much more to be done. How could Abdul do it on his own? He felt like giving up. It was then that Abdul realized something. Because he'd seen the film 90 times, he knew it word for word. Then an idea came, turn the movie into a song, and he did. He went back to those 90 Muslim villages and taught the people the Jesus film song. Many came to Jesus and taught the song to others. 48 churches of Muslim background believers were planted. Jesus is working wonders in the Muslim world. Join him there. Cast yourself in at frontiersusa.org.
I'm Peter Stanway.
I'm sure you...
Today's girls face many pressures in today's world, and the technology has taken it to a whole new level. Meet Brynn, Amber, Morgan, Maya, Jamie, and Alex, six extraordinary girls from Indiana who created the todaysgirls.com website. Peek into their daily chats about plans, problems, boys, classes, parents, the swim team, and a million of real-life issues heading their way at cyber speed. It takes faith in each other and God to face today's challenges with laughter, tears, and a lot of fun. Todaysgirls.com. Real girls, real faith. I'm Terry Squires, creator of the todaysgirls.com series, and won't you join me today to impact the lives of teen girls? And let's reach them together at www.todaysgirls.com.
I'm sure you know there's a lot of hatred toward Muslims these days, But God doesn't feel that way. In fact, he's been moving heaven and earth lately to show them his love. Here's what I mean. I'm Perry LaHaye with Cast Yourself In. Recently, a flood hit a Muslim area in Asia. Jacob, a believer in Jesus from that area, struck out on a rescue mission with his boat. He found 25 Muslims on a small patch of high ground. They climbed into the boat, and when they did, the center wooden plank in the boat gave way, but it didn't sink. Jacob knew Jesus was keeping the boat from sinking, and so he said to these Muslims, "This is the work of Jesus." As soon as they reached safety and climbed out of the boat, it slowly started to sink and then disappeared in the water. These Muslims praised Jesus for the miracle and now want to know more about his mighty power. Pray they'll put their trust in him. Jesus is doing amazing things in the Muslim world. He invites you to join him there. Your first step is at frontiersusa.org. Cast yourself in.
In case you haven't noticed, there's a culture war raging in America between the ideals of the American Revolution on the one hand and the French Revolution on the other. The humanistic French Revolution of 1789 is based on secularism and class envy. The American Constitution is based on Judeo-Christian...
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and we have Mr. Brad Silverman on the line with us. How you doing, Brad?
Hey, David. Good to be with you today.
Amen. Well, he is a director, producer, or just a producer?
I'm just director, actually. Writer-director.
Brad Silverman of Grace Unplugged. I'm sure this is not your first feature, but it's something that's getting a lot of buzz out there. We're going to jump in about that in just a second, but I want you to tell just the listeners and stuff who you are and your faith.
Well, born and raised in the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles, and came to faith a little later in life at age about 26, gave my life to Christ. I'm from Jewish background, but just with some faithful friends in the entertainment industry, actually, who led me to our Lord. And then I walked away from the film business for nearly a decade, and the Lord opened up a door for me, about 5-6 years ago, to kind of slowly get back into it, but on totally different terms, is doing projects that bring glory to him. So I did a DVD title that went straight to DVD called No Greater Love. That came out 2010, and then this door flung open, and we did Grace Unplugged, and it's just hitting theaters as we speak.
Wow. So how long were you in the industry before you left it?
I was in there for about 7 years, maybe, from about 19 to 26, 27, maybe 7 or 8 years.
And were you directing, or were you just learning the ropes?
Kind of learning the ropes. I just started directing. I was really in front of the camera at first. I was an actor and a comedian. And just started to get my feet wet with writing and directing. And that's kind of where I felt like, okay, I think that's where I'm vocationally gifted. Though at that time I didn't consider it a gifting. It was all my pride. But, and then it was in there at about 20, when God saved me, it was just starting to do the directing. And it was the toughest decision I've ever made in my life when I walked away from the film business.
What did you go and do when you left?
Anything. I worked three jobs. Really, I worked three jobs. I worked whatever. I mean, I just wanted to have a clear conscience. I just wanted to do something that I could just sleep at night, feel okay sleeping at night. And because when you're in the secular film business, you're just kind of coming in the ranks. You can't turn down work. You know, it's like you start turning down work. You get a reputation like, well, this guy is holier than thou, he doesn't want to do this, he doesn't want to do that, and I was not in position to be able to be turning down work in terms of clout in the industry or anything like that. So I worked at a deli, I worked at a restaurant, MC'd at weddings, you name it, we just did everything we could, any odd job I could get.
Well, and how long were you out of the industry?
Almost a decade.
Really?
I was almost a decade, and then I still consider myself out of the industry in some ways, so now I'm kind of back in it with the films we're doing. But, I met a guy, Russ Rice, who's one of the producers on, the lead producer on Grace Unplugged. He had a company that sells fundraising to schools, and, you know, kids selling candy bars and wrapping paper and things like that. And so I began selling... for him. I began to be one of his sales reps for his company, and so I would had my territory, and it was great. I did that for about 6 years with him. 6 of those 10 were with that. And he, long story, which we're not trying to get into, but it actually turned into, we started doing little videos for the schools. And they became bigger videos and bigger videos. Next thing you know, we were doing No Greater Love. So it was really crazy. So I don't even know where it came from or how it happened, but just I just look and say, I don't know, the Lord just had a plan, and we just kind of faithfully walked in it.
Now,
I don't know if any of that made sense, but that's kind of the story.
It makes sense. It makes sense. A lot of us think when we get saved, we're going to get to where we need to be, our ministry or our call, immediately. But there's a walk. And in those 10 years, was the film industry, the entertainment industry, was that still pulling in your heart to do something?
I mean, good question. Yeah, early on. It was really tough early on. Like when I made the decision to walk away, I was resolved. Nothing was going to change me. And what's so... well, it is what it is. When I made the decision to walk away, that's when I got like offers for bigger things.
Really?
It was quite a temptation. And early on, I was like, nope, not doing it. And I felt pretty strong. The problem was not right away. It was a year later and 2 years later when I'm going, man, I'm sitting here, it's working the night shift at a restaurant and cleaning floors and stuff, which is honorable work and it's wonderful. And yet I'm thinking, man, I could have been, you know, doing this, that, and the other. And that's just my pride. And yes, that it was a couple years later. Yeah, it was tough. It was tough because I'm a prideful guy, and I need to have my flesh continually mortified. But yeah, it was pulling on me constantly. Because the bottom line is, I loved the work. I didn't like the business.
Mm. That's true.
And I didn't like. I just couldn't do things that I couldn't watch myself. You know.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And then so you're back in. No Greater Love comes to pass, and you work on that. What was your thoughts during that time when you started making No Greater Love?
I don't know. You know, just it was such a wing and a prayer type movie. You know, just a couple $100,000 and a camera. I mean, just such low end nothing that. We were just trying to tell a good story, so I was pretty excited. It was very, very rewarding when we did that piece. There's something really charming about, hey, just a bunch of believers getting together trying to make a movie. It was just such a different dynamic for me than anything I'd ever experienced. So it was really, really fulfilling. I used to tell people, you know, it's kind of addicting when you're doing films that like expressly honor God, and you're praying on set, and you're praying with your actors.
Amen.
And you know, and if you have a problem on set, you just pray with them, and it's pretty. I joke with people and say, well, it's pretty addicting because once you do that, then it's hard to go back because you want to walk with the Lord in everything we do, glorify Him in everything we do, and when you get to do that in such an express, you know, such a in your face way, in a good way, it's really, really exciting when you can really feel like you're walking with Christ in every step of the way.
Hmm. And when you finish that it's kind of like it's an offering to the Lord, the first one you made, the No Greater Love.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I mean it was such a kind of a dreamish project where we just kind of like, let's just see if we can do it, and it was good enough. And the studio called Lionsgate eventually picked it up to distribute on DVD, which is great, and that gave us our relationship with them. And then they have picked up Grace Unplugged. I mean the big film now, obviously, Grace Unplugged is. Lionsgate, after No Greater Love, they were kind of asking, okay, what do you got next? Which is kind of where you want to be. But the cool thing was, by now it was like, okay, here's the, you know, they knew where we stood. They knew where we stood in terms of our faith, in terms of our commitment to that, and that we wouldn't be moved from that. Not that we can't do other projects that aren't expressly gospel-oriented, which Grace isn't overly preachy or anything, but they know where we stand personally, so that's really good.
You know, that's amazing, too, because you know how many filmmakers are out there that don't have a distributor? I mean, that's amazing that you got Lionsgate of all of them, too. So that's,
it's a blessing.
It is. So God had a plan. I mean, he got you right into the right source, the right place that you needed to be with your first one, and he has a bigger plan for you on that. So that's amazing. I always love everyone that comes on and just shares, you know, okay, yes, we got this great thing happening now, but tell me about the journey. I'm glad you shared that, because a lot of people don't understand. It takes a lifetime to make a great hit.
Definitely.
And you know, those 10 years will never ever be looked at as waste. Those 10 years were education and growth. Your spirit grew, your faith grew, and God got you ready for where you're at today. And that's an amazing, amazing thing. Tell us about Grace Unplugged. Did you write this one?
I did. Definitely team effort. As anyone who makes movies, it's a team effort. I wrote and directed this one. It's about an 18-year-old girl and her dad. It's basically a father-daughter story. He's a one-hit wonder rock star from the late 80s who bottoms out, gets saved. He's now a music pastor at a church in Alabama. His daughter is 18 years old, and she's a brilliant singer and musician herself, and she's grown up playing at church with him. That's all she's known, but she secretly dreams of becoming a pop star. And at a moment in time, through a sequence of events, she sort of sees a crack in the armor, and she ends up running away to L.A. to become a pop star. So it's really a father-daughter story, and really, I think a very heartfelt, certainly faith-driven story, music-driven, certainly, but that's the basic gist of it.
Wow, and that's an awesome story, because how many girls out there want to be pop stars?
That really
hits it. I mean, you look at all the concerts and stuff, and all the people on Nickelodeon, and even my daughter watching different people singing and stuff, and she wants to sing the same way. So that's a very good message, a very good story as well. So tell us about some of the stars that are in this one.
That's great. How old's your daughter, by the way?
She is 10.
10. Yeah, I got it. My younger daughter's 12. Well, your daughter might be a hair young, I don't know, but she might know Allie and AJ. They were a Disney duet. They sold about, I don't know, a couple million albums, 2.5 million albums. AJ, one of the sisters, she plays Grace in the film. She's our lead. She's phenomenal. I had seen her in, I just watched on DVD the movie Secretariat.
Mm-hmm.
And AJ plays one of the daughters in that, and I just thought she was so memorable and interesting and different, and I just loved what she was bringing to the table. It was something fresh. So AJ is the lead. So if you look at any of the posters and trailers, it's her film. It's AJ Mishaka. James Denton, whose biggest role was Mike the Plumber on Desperate Housewives, which, not a commentary for me at all. I had never seen the show. So he could have been my neighbor. I wouldn't even have recognized him.
I know who he is.
Neighbor.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He does.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, he's a good guy. He's a well-known actor as well. So that's cool.
Oh, sure. Yeah, James Denton, he's a veteran. He's on Pretender and certainly Desperate Housewives. He's been, he's very popular. Kevin Pollak from Few Good Men, Usual Suspects, Whole Nine Yards. He's been around for so many years. They're very recognizable. A lot of these people, if you don't know them by name, you'll know them by face, and even some of the more smaller supporting roles, I think people will recognize them certainly by face. It's just a veteran cast, and that's the direction we took. We wanted to go with a real, solid, solid cast of veteran actors. Say what you will, when you start talking about faith film or Christian film, I think, if it's not the first thing people think of, it's certainly in the top two or three. They think, "Ooh, it's going to be a cheesy, bad-acted movie." I'm not even saying that I feel that way about anyone's film or whatever. I'm just saying that is a stigma that this sub-genre of this industry has, right or wrong.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
So we were really excited and passionate to say, what would it look like if we put together just a legit veteran, recognizable people that these people, they're in major pictures and major parts in them. So and you can just tell when you watch, if anybody watches Grace Unplugged, which is in theaters, by the way, if you watch Grace Unplugged, I think you'll see this, the cast above everything else just raises the whole level of the film. And the critics have spoken, and that's everyone's really excited about that aspect of the film alone.
Oh, amen. And I tell you what, my friend, you are right. When you look at Christian films, you can tell there's something missing sometimes. And it's the acting, I think. It's just the way that the acting just gels together and the veterans. And what you're sharing is so true. And tell them how they can find the film.
The film is playing in over 500 theaters. Now, it just opened. We need everybody's support because it's so hard to get a film in theaters that honors Christ. And you can go to graceunplugged.com, graceunplugged.com. And I just hope you look it up and go watch the trailer for it. And, you know, we absolutely need everybody in America, the body of Christ together to support this film. And I don't want people to do it because, like, it's a cause that, you know, we need to support even though we don't like the movie. I mean, just watch the trailer. That's all I'm asking. Watch the trailer. If you like the trailer, if you like the themes that were in there, it's a very heartfelt father-daughter story, which I think is going to challenge any parent in America who has teenagers or, you know, 10-year-olds or 12-year-olds in my case. It's like, you know, I think this film is really will really, really, really minister to people. And I think, Lord willing, it's been done in a way that you won't be able to tell a separation between this and whatever else is playing in the theater next to it in terms of quality. By God's grace, I think he was allowed us to pick up the quality quite a bit.
Amen. And Grace Unplugged is one of the highest rated fan rating films on Fandango right now. It has an A- in cinema score and a 91 rating on Rotten Tomatoes and the highest viewer ranking of any film on Fandango.com. So that is an amazing thing. That there's just not my brother here, Brad Silverman, saying this, but it is the critics, it is the people that rank these things. It's the people that are looking for a film to go watch and have enjoyed it as well. And that should speak volumes to you and let you know that there's something you need to support. We need to support good Christian films. We need to support good faith-based films because it needs to create a bigger, we need to create a bigger launch of that. We need more bigger budgets for that. We need the Hollywood writing bigger checks to make more films like that. They'll go spend $100 million on something that's just horrible in as far as values and faith. But if they can pour that into something with faith, imagine the impact that we can have around the world. And brother, tell us, how long did it take you to shoot this one?
This was a 23-day shoot, I think.
Oh, that's pretty quick. That's good.
We shot for maybe 24. We shot about 21 days in Alabama and 3 days in Los Angeles.
Okay, so the bulk of it was shot in Alabama.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep, almost all of it was shot in Alabama. It's just a whole lot cheaper there and a whole lot more feasible to do everything there. And so, you know, in typical Hollywood filmmaking magic, if you watch the movie, you'll see the characters, like, they'll be in Los Angeles on Sunset Boulevard because it's, you know, it deals with a girl who wants to become a pop star. So you'll see the outside of the buildings from Los Angeles, but obviously when they walk into the building, we shoot the insides of some of them in Alabama.
Oh, that's smart. What part of Alabama did you shoot this one in?
In and around Birmingham. That was our home away from home. Yeah, we loved Birmingham. They just welcomed us in, and yeah, became our second family.
any testimonies from the shooting and from the editing and anything that somebody was touched or inspired and just from the cast and crew? Tell us something about that.
Yeah, I mean, too many to count, really. I could really
which
spend
ones,
all day talking
which,
about
which
it.
One stood out? What stood out on you?
I'll give you a couple.
Okay.
You know, certainly I was on set and this one's evangelism. There was evangelism everywhere on that set because we had a lot of non-believers there. And so I'm talking with, he was the extras, well, I don't want to say what he is. We talking with one of the guys that was on the crew, and we're waiting while they're setting up the next shot. And, you know, once they start setting it up, then I have a little bit of downtime. So I'm talking with one of the guys behind the scenes, and I'm just sharing the gospel with him. And he would be a professing believer, and we're talking about the gospel, and I'm going deep, and because, I don't know, I'm just share the gospel, you know, when you can. Don't be obnoxious, but when it comes up, just, you know, hey, if it can come up, just, anyway, it came up. And so I'm talking to the guy, and he says, boy, you know, we don't hear that around here too much. Like, I didn't even know what he meant by it, because I'm like, we're in the Bible Belt. But he said, we don't hear the gospel preached that way too much. And I'm like, okay. And he just kind of walked away. I thought, okay, well, hopefully I was faithful to the Lord and just sharing. I turn around, and these two girls are sitting there, and one of them is just, like, bawling her eyes out. And I'm going, I go, what's wrong? And she's like, you know, a little bit older than my daughter. And she's going, you know, I've walked away from the Lord. And I'm just hearing what you're telling that guy. And she's like, can I have a hug? And so, like, we adopted her right away. And I'm like, and I found, like, there's a couple of young ladies on set that are super, super solid, godly young women. I'm like, hey, you need to meet so-and-so. And just, and we just paired them together and just, like, the ministry that was happening. I don't know if any of that made sense, but it was just, there was tremendous ministry. And there's others, I don't even want to name them by name, but some of the actors that have done other roles that aren't as favorable for a family-friendly audience in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We had one actor who was a prominent role in the film. She was watching some of the scenes that we had shot with her, I think, 13-year-old daughter, 13, 14 years old, and just the mom and who's in the film, or the actress in the film, and a 13-year-old daughter, and we're watching some scenes, and I turn around and look, and the two of them are sitting on the couch, arm in arm, mom and daughter, just crying. Mm. And I said, what's up? She said, and the mom said, she's never seen me act before. And I was like, what? You've been in 1,000 things, but this was the one that she's like, yeah, but, you know, this is the one that I felt comfortable with her watching. And it was stories like that over and over and over that was so touching, so deeply, deeply, deeply touching that if, you know, forget how it's going to affect the world just while we were making this film. And I don't even know if those are two stories that no one's ever asked me that, believe it or not. I wasn't prepared for that. So but I don't know. Those are two. Hopefully they make sense.
Oh, they do make sense. And that's what, you know, it leads right into what I was talking to. Talking on the first segment, and we make a difference. That's what I was talking. This is God. I mean, as like you see who you could influence, see who you can touch. It could just be someone at work. It could be someone you don't even know, but just see what you can make a difference with. And we had a Pat Williams on just before you talking about how just the things we do in everyday life, whether it's work, whether it's ministry, it affects people that we don't even see. And that's exactly what you're doing. I mean, this is a bigger reward than anything. Just hearing that stuff and inspiring those that are listening that the dreams that you have, they're coming true for you today. And even though it looked like you walked away from it 10 years ago, God had a plan for you, my brother. And that's amazing. So please share with everybody one more time how they can find the shows, how they can find the theaters, and then give them any information you want for contact and all that.
Well, you can go to Grace Unplugged, GRACE, graceunplugged.com. You can check out the trailer there, and you can see there's a little icon that says theaters. Like I said, it's playing in 500 theaters this weekend, it only stays in theaters if, you know, the numbers are there. We're praying that this film will just deeply, deeply impact lives and really challenge people to see. I don't want to give away the film. Just watch the trailer. You'll get the idea. But just really challenge people to the glory of God. And you can go to graceunplugged.com, watch the trailer, and click on theaters. You'll see where it's playing near you.
Amen. Hey, brother, thank you so much for being on the air. As you can tell, I'm a different kind of host. I try and get in your heart. And
it's a conversation between friends. Let's do it again.
Amen. Anytime, brother. Anytime you got something you want to promote, and especially when the DVD release comes up, I want you back on here as well. And this thing becomes a blockbuster as well, I want you back on here as well again. So
thank you. Thanks so much for chatting. I really, really, really enjoyed it.
All right. God bless you. Take care.
Thanks, bro.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Amen. That was Mr. Brad Silverman. Please go to graceunplugged.com. Listen to the trailer. Look at the trailer. Look at everything that's on there. And then also listen to all the reviews that it's getting. Amazing. I'll read them one more time. Grace Unplugged has the highest fan rating of any film on Fandango, an A- cinema score, a 91 rating on RottenTomatoes.com, and the highest viewer ranking of, again, on anything on Fandango. So how do you think you're going to enjoy it? You will. You will definitely, definitely, definitely enjoy it, my friends. I'm excited just to have that guest and to have the honor of interviewing him because there's so many other places he could have been today. I got that interview the last minute yesterday, and I said, definitely, I'll take him. If he can come on tomorrow, I'll have him in a heartbeat. And we got him. We got him. So that's a beautiful thing. And we are excited to recommend this film to you. I'm going to find a place where I can go watch it with my wife. and my children, hopefully this weekend, try and keep them going. And it is a business, my friends. It is a business. As much as it is ministry, it is as much business, and we have to support this kind of stuff. Anyway, I want to thank my guests, Pat Williams and Mr. Brad Silverman, for being on the show today. God bless you. We'll catch you next time on the Men Watch. Next week, I have a very special guest. I want to give him a plug. Mr. David Hunter is coming to my studio. David and I go back all the way to high school together. He's a fire, Holy Ghost-filled fireman of God, fire man of faith. And he has his ministry that he travels around the world, and he also travels around the United States in a prophetic anointing and a healing anointing as well. And we're going to be over here in the studio on Tuesday. You don't want to miss that show. Tuesday, 11 o'clock Central Standard Time, next Tuesday. We have him, and then we have another guest, Sarah Sundin, right after him on second segment. Hopefully we don't burn the place down with our fire and faith, and so Sarah can be on the show with us on the second segment, but I'm going to have him tie in on the second segment as well, make him a co-host on the second segment. I'm going to surprise him with that. Anyway, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you next time on The Midwatch.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.